Bible says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not on my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So a new covenant. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom tonight and speak to each of our hearts through your word. We thank you for the privilege to be here. And we pray you'll be glorified and, Lord, that your word would be able to go freely out in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we see, after talking about the Melchizedek priesthood and the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest, he then says, this is the sum. We have a new covenant. And that new covenant, of course, is not completely fulfilled, as we saw, until Israel accepts Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And that doesn't take place until the end of the tribulation, when Jesus returns to the earth. And then they will recognize who Jesus is, and they will get the new heart, as we read. But in the meantime, God has worked a miracle through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ to bring in what we have today, which is, as we saw last week, a better testament. So notice he talks about in verse 2, he's a ministry and of the true tabernacle. So he is here is talking about not the one that was on the earth in Moses' day. He's talking about the one that's in heaven. When God told him to make the tabernacle, speaking of Moses, he said, as we read, I want you to follow this pattern. That pattern was after the heavenly pattern. If you look in chapter 9, verse 12, the Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's where Jesus Christ didn't go into the holy place here on earth. He went into the holy place in heaven, where Almighty God is. The holy place on earth was just a picture of the true one in heaven, just like the tabernacle was just a picture of the true tabernacle, which is in heaven. And as it said there in verse 5, he used words like shadow there in verse 5, and also the word pattern. So God gave Moses those specific instructions about the one in the desert because it was to be patterned in exactly like the tabernacle that is in heaven. But then we get to the meat of it, verse 6. Now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now we did a quick word study on that word better last week. It shows up a lot in Hebrews, as we saw. Here's two of them, better covenant, better promises. We looked at two in chapter 7. We'll look at them again. Look at verse 19 of chapter 7. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. So there we read about a better hope. And then down in chapter 7, verse 22, It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And then in chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible talks, it says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices, which of course are the ones of Christ. And then one more, Hebrews 11. I don't think we looked at this one last week. Hebrews 11, 16. It says, but now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. So Hebrews is about the better ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How He nailed the law to the cross and gave us a new covenant, a new testament. And as we read, better covenant, better promises, better hope, better testament, better sacrifices, better country. That's all in the book of Hebrews. Everything that Jesus brought in is better than the old, as we saw. And as it explained, it said, verse 7, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. And what he means by that is the law can't get anybody to heaven. The law was meant to show us we can't measure up, that we aren't righteous, that God is righteous and holy, and that we need His help. We need His supernatural intervention to be able to ever see Him again. So verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. And so now God isn't just talking about the church age, which he was focusing on in chapter 7, the Melchizedek priesthood, but now he's even going beyond that and talking about when the new covenant that God made with Israel is fulfilled, and that was given in Jeremiah chapter 31. So we've got to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 31. This is the new covenant. How do we know that? Because God says so. There were four unconditional covenants in the Old Testament. This was the fourth of those covenants. And by unconditional, I mean it didn't matter what man did. They were going to happen. This particular covenant, none of it had been fulfilled at the time of Jesus Christ. Some of the other covenants, parts of them had. The first covenant, of course, was given to Abraham. And then in Deuteronomy, we have the Palestinian covenant, and then we have the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel 7. But this covenant, verse 31 of chapter 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. So that's how we know it's a new covenant, because he says so, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant they made with their fathers, in the day that I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So here he is talking about what happens when Jesus returns to the earth. Israel accepts their Messiah. They go into the kingdom, and everybody in the kingdom will know who Jesus is, because he will be ruling and reigning from the throne of David in Jerusalem. And we will be ruling and reigning with him. So there will be no mysteries about the person of Jesus Christ. He will be the king of the earth. And that's what it means when it says everybody shall know him. Now, that doesn't mean everybody will be saved, because these humans that survived the tribulation go into the kingdom will start having babies, and that's where the people come from that we rule and reign over. But there will be this new covenant that God will fulfill with his chosen people, Israel. This regeneration, restoration, forgiveness, and being this great nation again that God had promised. They will get their land that was promised in Genesis. They will get their king, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a descendant of David. And then again, the expansion of the land mentioned in Deuteronomy 30 in the Palestinian covenant all gets fulfilled when Jesus returns to the earth. And as it says there in verse 11 of Hebrews 8, at the end of the verse, all shall know me. Imagine what that will be like. Not like that today, sadly. If you look at Isaiah 11, the Bible talks about this universal knowledge of the Lord. Notice Hebrews 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Now that word mountain there, usually when God mentions a mountain, He's talking about a kingdom. He's talking about His kingdom that's going to be around the whole earth. And He says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's what it'll be like during the kingdom. And he makes that exact same statement in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 as well. The earth shall be full with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So that will be the ultimate fulfillment of the new covenant. The church in its mystery form is the beginning of that fulfillment, because Jesus Christ brought in the beginnings of the new covenant. Because covenant and testament basically mean the same thing. And He brought in the New Testament because the testator died, as we talked about last week. But it's not just a New Testament, it's a better testament, built upon better promises and better sacrifices, and gives us a better hope and points us toward a better country. And that is the new covenant that only Jesus Christ can provide. So, how beautiful this is. And I like how the writer, I almost said Paul, how the writer said, this is the sum. We have a high priest. He's referring back to chapter 7. And this high priest, who's now in heaven, brought in a better everything. But ultimately, this new covenant that we get to be part of, not because we're Jews, but because we are grafted in through Jesus. Amen? And that's why we get to be there at the kingdom as well. So it's a Jewish kingdom, ruled by our Jewish Lord, built on His Jewish book. But, hallelujah, He allowed the Gentiles to enter as well. A better covenant.